Sechs Tamura Perek Aleph Mishnah Vovin for Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel. This last Mishnah of the Perek continues to discuss when exactly Tamura applies, what types of sanctified items can create Tamura. And the first example of the Mishnah is Ha'ofes V'Hamenochos, bird offerings, Karbonos of birds, V'Hamenochos, and Karbonos, sacrifices of flour, Einon Osin Tamura, cannot create Tamura. Such that if somebody says, I want this to be instead of the flour which has already been sanctified, or the bird which has already been sanctified, that new flour or bird would not become sanctified. The idea of Tamura was never said in the Torah about birds and flour offerings, Shalei Ne'emar Ela B'Behema, because the whole idea of Tamura was only introduced in the Torah regarding a regular animal, not a bird, but a behema, which is bigger animals like sheep, goats, cows. So although the birds and the flour offerings do have intrinsic sanctification, nevertheless, they cannot create Tamura. Hatzibur v'ashutfin enein osin Tamura. The public, the community, and partners cannot create Tamura, meaning if there is an animal which has been designated to be brought as a korban tzibur, one of the sacrifices brought on behalf of all of the Jewish people, such as the korban tamid, which is brought every day, and also a sacrifice which is being brought by two people jointly, these cannot create Tamura. If somebody wants to replace that animal with a different one, no Tamura will be created, and the sanctity will just remain with the original animal. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Le'yomer Oisoi, he shall not try and replace the animal. When the Torah talks about Tamura, it talks about this in the singular form, Yochid Oisa Tamura. We see from there that a individual has the power to create Tamura, but Lo Yatzibuv La'ashutvin Oisin Tamura, the public and likewise partners, if the korban is being bought by two people jointly, they do not have the power to create Tamura, to transfer and to sort of add on the sanctity to the new animal. Korbanos Bedek HaBayis, a sacrifice, although it's not actually going to be brought as a sacrifice, but an animal, essentially, which is designated to Bedek HaBayis. This refers to something which has Kedushas Domim, which means that its value has been sanctified, and the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdosh would sell that item and use the money which he gets from selling that item for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdosh and maintaining what goes on there. So even if somebody designates an animal to the Bedek HaBayis, since the animal is not being brought as a korban, it doesn't have intrinsic holiness and sanctification, so Tamura would not apply to it. Because Tamura, as we can see in all of these Mishnayos, Tamura only applies to those specific cases which are included in what the Torah talked about when it introduced this novel idea of Tamura. We don't extend that idea beyond that which we can learn from the Pesukim themselves. Omar Rabbi Shimon, said Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon agrees with the laws of the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah. However, he argues as to the source of these laws. Where do we learn it from? The Torah talks about the idea of Tamura in pretty much two places, and in one of the cases, it talks about a korban in general terms. And elsewhere, the Torah introduces this idea of Tamura, but when talking about a specific type of korban, a korban of Maaser Behema, which is a tenth of one's animals, which are born each year, which he is obligated to separate and designate as a korban. So Rabbi Shimon takes note of this, and he says, V'alaya Maaser B'klal Hoya, surely Maaser Behema was included in the category of general korbanos. V'loma Yotza, so why did the Torah specify that korban and seem to exclude it from the general category? The answer is, L'hakish Eilov, in order to compare to that type of korban, and to show us that Tamura only applies to korbanos, to sacrifices which are similar and share the characteristics of this sacrifice of Maaser Behema. Ma Maaser Korban Yochid, just like a tenth of one's animals which are brought as korbanos are a korban yochid, it's a sacrifice brought by the individual as opposed to being brought on behalf of all of the Jewish people. Yotzu korbanos tzibur, so this would exclude public korbanos brought on behalf of everybody. And that is the source that Tamura would not apply to public korbanos. And as well as that, Ma'aser Korban Mizbeach, just like Maaser Behema is a sacrifice which is going to be offered up on the Mizbeach itself, that animal itself is going to be used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, which means that it has Kedushas HaGuf. It has intrinsic sanctity because it itself is going to be used in the service. And this would exclude Yotsu Corbinus Betacabias. This would exclude animals which are the second type of Hektish, which is known as Koche Betacabias. It's also known as Kedushas Domim, that only its value will end up being used towards maintaining and upkeeping the Beis HaMikdosh. Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. The second perek of the Masechta discusses sort of categories of different types of korbanos and stringencies and leniencies, different laws which apply to the different categories. And it's really coming off of the end of the previous perek where we saw a difference between public korbanos and private korbanos. And earlier on in the perek, we also saw differences between Tamura and the original animal which had been designated as a korban. And this perek will continue to elaborate on those details. Yesh b'korbanos ha'yochid mash'eim korbanos ha'tzibur. There are certain laws which apply to private korbanos bought on behalf of the individual, which do not apply to public korbanos bought on behalf of all of the Jewish people. On the other hand, yesh b'korbanos ha'tzibur, there are certain laws which apply to public korbanos mash'eim korbanos ha'yochid, which do not apply to korbanos, to sacrifices bought on behalf of the individual. And the Mishnah begins the list, korbanos ha'yochid, because sacrifices bought on behalf of the individual, once that animal has been designated for such a korban, isin tamura, that can create tamura. If somebody wants to replace that animal, then the second one will also become sanctified. That is the law of tamura, whereas korbanos ha'tzibur in an isin tamura, sacrifices bought by on behalf of all of the Jewish people cannot create tamura. If that animal is tempted to be replaced, nothing will happen. The original animal will remain sanctified, and the new animal, nothing will occur to that animal. It won't become sanctified, as we learnt in the previous perek. Secondly, korbanos hayochid nagim bazachor mevan keves, which simply translated means that sacrifices bought on behalf of the individual apply and can be bought from either male animals or female animals, whereas the korbanos hatzibur, sacrifices bought on behalf of the public, ein nagin ela bazachorim, only apply to male animals. Only a male animal can be used. Now the truth is, for the vast majority of korbanos, the Torah prescribes what exact type of animal it needs to be, whether it needs to be male, female, what type of animal, what age. However, there is one particular korban bought on behalf of the individual, and that is a korban shalomim, that when an individual decides to bring a korban shalomim, this can be bought from either a male animal or a female animal. So the point of the Mishnah is that there exists within the category of sacrifices bought by an individual a certain type of sacrifice that can come either from a male animal or a female animal, whereas within the category of sacrifices bought for all of the Jewish people, there is no such animal which can be bought from both a male and a female animal. Rather, the Torah prescribes that it's always a male animal which is used. Korbanos hayochid, number three, the third difference between them, is that korbanos hayochid chayovim ba'achrayuson, sacrifices bought by an individual, one is obligated to replace them, uva'achrayas niskeim, and to replace their nesochim. Nesochim refers to the wine and the flour which one is obligated to bring together with his korban. When he brings a sacrifice, he needs to accompany that sacrifice with wine and flour. And what the Mishnah is saying is that if there is a fixed time for the individual to bring his korban, for example, a woman who gave birth, or a person who got tzara'as, a certain skin disease which would make him impure, and he has to go through a whole purification process, and at the end of that purification process, on the eighth day, the Torah prescribes that he bring a korban, and also for a woman who gave birth, there's a fixed day, depending on whether she gave birth to a male or a female child, when exactly she would need to bring her korban. What happens if they miss that day? She didn't manage to bring the korban on that day. The Mishnah is telling us that she is obligated to still bring that korban after that day has passed. And when they bring that korban, the woman who gave birth, or the metzora, the one who had tzara'as, and had to go through this purification process, when they bring the korban, they have to bring the wine and flour which accompany the korban as well. Whereas the korbanos ha'tzibur, sacrifices brought on behalf of all of the Jewish people, einon chayovin, they would not be obligated to replace it or to replace the flour and wine which are supposed to accompany it. Once again, we're talking about sacrifices which have a fixed time. For example, a korban tomid, which is bought every day, or a korban musaf, which is bought on Shabbos. If that korban, for whatever reason, was not brought on that day, then they would not bring it the day later. And since they're not bringing the korban itself, so they certainly wouldn't bring the flour and wine, which are only there in order to accompany the korban. That having been said, if they did bring the korban on the correct day, but for whatever reason they didn't bring the wine and flour, they didn't offer that up on the Mizbeach to accompany the actual sacrifice, they would be obligated to replace the Nesochim, meaning to offer up the wine and the flour, even if it's a different day, once the actual korban has been offered up. Once the actual korban was offered up, then there now exists an obligation to bring that which is supposed to accompany the sacrifice. So even if it doesn't actually accompany it at the same time, an obligation would still exist to bring the wine and the flour. So those are the three laws which apply to sacrifices brought by an individual and do not apply to sacrifices brought on behalf of all of the Jewish people. Now the Mishnah lists, yesh b'korbanos hatzibur mash'im b'korbanos hayachid, there are certain laws which apply to sacrifices brought on behalf of the Jewish people, which do not apply to sacrifices brought by an individual. Number one, shekorbanos hatzibur dochnas ha'shabbos v'satumah. Because sacrifices brought on behalf of all of the Jewish people would override Shabbos. They would be brought even if it's a Shabbos on that day. Only these type of sacrifices are offered up in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. An individual cannot bring a korban on Shabbos. And as well as that, if there is nobody available, there are no kohanim who are pure, or if all of the utensils in the Beis HaMikdash are impure, then they would bring the public korban even in such a state of impurity, although in general it's forbidden to bring a korban in a state of impurity. Omar Meir said, V'haloi chavite kohen gadol, surely the minchas chavitin of the kohen gadol, which is a type of flour offering which he was obligated to bring twice a day, usually one sacrifice, he would bring half of it in the morning, half of it in the evening, as well as Upari Makipurin, the bull which the Kohen Gadol was obligated to offer up on Yom Kippur. These are two examples of a sacrifice brought by an individual. Korban Yochid, it's a korban of an individual, v'dochnas Shabbos v'satumah. And yet the law is that it overrides Shabbos and impurity. If nobody is pure, then the Kohen Gadol would bring that sacrifice in a state of impurity. And likewise, even if Yom Kippur fell on Shabbos, it would still be brought. The sacrifice would still be offered up. So we see that this can't be something which is dependent on whether it's a korban for the Jewish people or for an individual. Ella, rather, what does it depend on? Shazamalon kavua. It depends on whether the korban has a fixed time or not. Any sacrifice which has a fixed time and the Torah specifies that it has to be brought at that time, it is such a korban which would override Shabbos and impurity because the korban has to be brought now. But this is irrelevant of whether it is a sacrifice of an individual or for the public. The truth is, the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah, understands that although these two korbanos which Reb Meir mentioned are offered up by the Kohen Gadol specifically, they are still not considered to be an individual's korban. They're not considered to be a sacrifice of the Kohen Gadol. Rather, he is representing all of the Jewish people, and indeed even these two are considered to be korbanos tzibur, public korbanos brought on behalf of all of the Jewish people. Mishnah Beis. In general, if an animal has kedushas haguf, it has intrinsic sanctification, and in terms of its designation, it should really be offered as a korban, but something invalidates it from being brought as a korban. For example, it develops a blemish. The general law in such a case is that animal needs to be redeemed, which essentially just involves selling the animal, and the money which is gained from selling that animal will then be used to buy a new sacrifice, a new animal which can be valid and bought as a sacrifice on the Mizbeach. That having been said, there is a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, a tradition which we have going back from Moshe, which he received at Har Sinai, that this does not apply to a korban chatos, and therefore there are five cases of an animal which, technically speaking, it has the sanctity of a korban chatos. This is a type of sacrifice which is brought to atone for a particular sin which somebody performed. And when this animal cannot be offered up, it isn't redeemed, rather it is let to die. Since as sanctification we can't kill it ourselves, rather we would let the animal into a small area by itself and it would starve to death. So the Mishnah begins by telling us that this is not necessarily true for all types of korbanos, and in fact this is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, because the Mishnah tells us now that chadas hayochid shekipru bo aleha mesa, an individual's korban chatos, in a case where the owner, the one who is going to bring that korban, already received his atonement, This refers to a case where he lost his original animal, which he designated as a korban chatos, and therefore he designated a different animal and offered up that animal as his korban, and later on he found his original animal. Now, his original animal has the sanctity of a korban chatos, but he can no longer bring it because he already received an atonement via a different animal. So this is one of the five examples of a korban chatos which the law is meso, we allow it to die, but the Mishnah says, v'shel tzibur, if this occurred with a korban chatos brought on behalf of all of the Jewish people, a public korban chatos, eino meso, it would not be allowed to die, rather it would be redeemed, like which is the law for most korbanos which become invalid. Rabbi Yehuda says, Thomas, that's not true, rather it should die. And the argument is purely based on a difference in tradition of what they heard the exact details of this halacha l'moshe m'Sinai were. Now, Omar Rabbi Shimon tries to reason logically for why the first opinion of the Mishnah is correct, and Rabbi Shimon understood that the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai was said about all five examples together. There are five examples of a animal which has been designated as a korban chatos. When it becomes invalidated, the law is that it needs to die. And Rabbi Shimon understood that the law was stated about these five together. So it must be that all five are applicable and could apply. And therefore Rabbi Shimon reasons that mamotzin bevlad chatos, just like we find regarding the child of a korban chatos, that is one of the five examples. If an animal which had been designated as a korban chatos gives birth, the child has that same level of sanctity. However, it's not going to be offered up, because he receives his atonement just by bringing the mother animal. Likewise, with temuras chatos, the temura of a korban chatos, that's another one of the five examples, of a chatos shemesu bo'aleha, or korban chatos whose owner, who was supposed to bring that korban chatos to atone for his sin, if he died, and therefore obviously the korban chatos can no longer be offered up, these three examples are obviously beyochid dvar mamurim. These examples are stated specifically regarding the sacrifice of an individual. A public korban is always a male animal, so it couldn't have given birth. Likewise, as we learned earlier on, temura only applies to an individual's korban, not to the public, to a sacrifice brought on behalf of the public. And obviously the third example would also only apply to an individual, where it's being brought to atone for his sin. So if he dies, there's a problem. But we don't have any case where all of the Jewish people die. So I have a little bit similar. It doesn't apply to public korbanos. Af shekipru abaylim v'shover shenasa. So too the other two cases where the owner who was supposed to bring that korban already received his atonement. That's the case which our Mishnah was talking about at the beginning. And the final example, which we haven't yet mentioned, if the animal passed its first year, that means it's too old to be bought as a korban anymore. These two examples also should logically follow the same pattern as the first three, that b'yochid v'ramurim, they were stated specifically regarding a individual's korban of a loibet zibur, but not regarding a korban bought on behalf of the public. Mishnah Gimel, chum b'kodeshim b'tamura, there are stringencies which exist with korbanos, sacrifices which were themselves designated as sacrifices, the first korban. There are stringencies which exist there and do not exist with the temura animal, the second animal which receives its sanctity after a temura declaration is stated regarding the first animal, uba temura bakodshim. And there are stringencies which apply to the temura animal, the second one, which do not apply to the original animal which had been designated as a sacrifice. Firstly, Shah Kojim Asim Tamura, because the first animal, one which was designated specifically to be a sacrifice, that can create Tamura. But the Ain Tamura is a Tamura. Tamura itself cannot create Tamura like we learned in the first Perek. If somebody wants to replace the animal which it itself became sanctified only because of Tamura, so the third animal would not become a sanctified animal. Secondly, Hatsuv Vashutra Makdishim, the public and partners can designate an animal to be brought as a sacrifice, Avalei Mamirim, but they cannot create Tamura like we learned earlier on in this Perek. Umakdishim Ivorim Vuborim, and like we learned in the previous Perek, one is able to designate individual limbs of an animal to be sanctified, as well as the fetus inside of a mother animal. One can designate only the fetus to be a korban. And when it's born, it will be brought as a korban, avalim amirim, but temura would not apply over here because temura only applies to a whole animal, as we learned in the previous perek. Chorim bat temura, the stringency which apply to temura more than the original animal which was designated, is that firstly, shakdusha cholal balas mum kavua, that the sanctity can take hold even to an animal, even upon an animal which has a fixed wound which invalidates it from being brought as a korban. Like we learned right at the beginning of the Masechta, the Torah specifically says that even if the animal is a ra, it's so to speak a bad animal, that means that it cannot be brought as a korban, even then Tamura would apply to it, and Tamura means it, the animal itself is intrinsically sanctified. Not just its value, it's properly, it's got real sanctity to it. And therefore, even though this animal can obviously not be brought as a korban, rather it needs to be redeemed, the law is that an animal which had intrinsic sanctification, even once it's redeemed, there are limitations on what can be done with it. It would not lose its holiness in terms of shearing it or working the animal in the fields. That would still be forbidden because of the sanctity which it has. Rabbi Yehuda adds one onto the list. The Torah considers even a tamura done by mistake as if it was done on purpose. That doesn't mean that you totally didn't know what you were doing, but if somebody intended to replace the animal, but he intended to replace it with a specific type of animal, and mistakenly pointed to the wrong animal, or there was a similar mistake like that, the Gemara goes into the specific example, that would take hold with regards to a tamura declaration, but not with regards to the original Hekdesh designation for it to become a sacrifice. Now the Perek ends off, Rabbi Elazar says, there are certain animals whose invalidations from being brought as a korban are so significant and inherent in the animal itself that even tamura would not apply to them. For example, hakilayim, an animal born out of a interbreed of two different animals, vatrefa, or an animal which has an internal wound, which means that it's forbidden to be eaten and to be brought as a korban. V'yotze doifen, an animal which was born not naturally, but rather via a cesarean. Tumtum, v'androgynous, an animal which either has neither male or female organs because they are covered, or it has both of them. V'kadeshim, these animals cannot become holy, not only at the beginning, but even for tamura. Even tamura would not give them sanctity, unlike an animal which just has a blemish, which invalidates it from being brought as a korban. Here the invalidations are more significant, such that even tamura would not take hold. And as well as that, in a case where, let's say, an animal was designated as a korban, and then it became a trefa, then it developed a wound which invalidated it from being brought as a korban. Since this occurred after it was designated as a sacrifice, it still has that intrinsic sanctity. So I would have thought that perhaps it can create tamura. If somebody wants to replace that animal with a different animal, tamura would be created. So the Mishnah says, v'lo makdishim, they would not give sanctity to something else, meaning tamura cannot be created from them, even though they do contain a certain level of intrinsic sanctification, since when they were originally designated, they were fully valid korbanos.